Welcome, Diana Waugh.
I am looking for freedom fighters. And my hope is, by the time I'm done today, I got another whole room full of recruits. Oh, that's the wrong introduction. That's the one I do when I'm talking to people who use restraints. There's nobody in the United States who would use restraints today, for heaven's sakes. That law that said stop roping and doping the elderly went into effect 14 years ago. Excuse me, I gotta start over. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, let's get serious. If it weren't for families, if it weren't for surveyors, if it weren't for attorneys, would you guys really give a darn if residents fell? This is your turn to say something, guys. Oh, yes! Why? Isn't our major driver the surveyors, the law, and the families who get unhappy with us? Of course, right? No, somebody said no. Who said no to me? Well, why did you say no? She won't look at me now. Send it by telegraph. I'm listening. Why not?
Because we work in healthcare because we care about the residents.
We care about the residents. Oh, yeah, we really do. I care a lot. Can you tell? You're getting close. Why do you care if residents fall? Who said it? I was hoping everybody would get it. Because if we truly cared, your answer would be, it hurts, right? Yes or no? Let's double check. How many of you have ever fallen in your life? Raise your hands, please. Come on, liars, get your arms up. Everybody, this is how the whole day is going to go, guys. I don't know how to tell you any differently. How many of you have ever fallen in your life? Raise your hands. Look around the room. Pauline, you didn't tell me. I have got 100% fall rate in this room, and I can't take care of them all, okay? And not one of them is tied up. Let's double check it. How many of you have fallen more than once? Raise your hands. Oh, my God. Oh, no, Pauline, I can't do it. Get the restraints. Bring in the truck. Okay. Well, of course. And how many of you klutzes have broken something? Raise your hand. And please look around the room. Please look around the room. Why on earth have we as an industry promised to do something that God is having a little problem with? Right? Where we ever said they'll never fall in our place is stupid. Okay? It's stupid. We said it. We continue to take hits on it. But we do have some holes in our armor. Okay? We're going to talk about the holes in our armor. Those of you who have fallen, those of you who have busted something, when you fell, did you ever take anything for the pain it caused? Anybody here take anything? Raise your hands. Yeah. You see, a little Motrin, you know, some Tylenol, a little ice, something like that. Well, sure. So this is the most exciting moment of this entire seminar. Because I know you just finished a iPro series on pain management, right? Say yes, they're in the back of the room. Okay, yes. Okay. So this will be so beautiful because if you answer this question right, you're out of here. But it must be 100% participation, okay? But this is going to be beautiful. It's going to be a cacophony. I found that new word. I love it. This will be a cacophony of noise, okay? Cacophony. Okay, I'm not supposed to use the word noise with it or not. But anyway, on the count of three, I want you to recite out loud and very proudly, especially those of us who understand we do care a lot, okay? The pain management protocol that automatically kicks in post-fall. We don't need nurses to decide if someone's hurting or not. We got a routine scheduled pain intervention, some medical, some pharmacological, some non-pharmacological. Oh, this is going to be beautiful. Oh, I just can't wait. Okay, let's get started. I want you to tell me post-assessment and nothing's broken. They got a bump here, they got a bump here, and their shoulder hurts them, okay? But everything's still intact, fairly much so. Okay. What is that protocol? Okay, on the count of three, you just start shouting it out because you're so proud. Let's go. One, two, three.
Pain is what the patient says.
That's cool. Pain is what the patient says. And knowing that, I want to know your protocol. First, we go for it.
Pain
No, no, this is your turn. You see, because we care so much. We would never allow someone in our facility to hurt, would we? Of course not. Well, except for the fact that my nursing colleagues, I'm a nurse so I can be ornery with them, but the rest of you don't think you're going to get out of here free, okay? My nursing colleagues, how did I get into this mess? Started working with Restraint Freedom and realized it had nothing to do with restraints. It has everything to do with we don't know who the heck we're taking care of, and we figure if we can tie up their body, we'll be fine. And then that didn't work. They got themselves killed. It was such a mess. So now we decide maybe we ought to look at falls. Maybe we ought to look at falls, all right? In so doing, I've spent a lot of time in facilities. And here's what happens. I say to them, just like I've asked you, when a resident falls, what do you do to manage the pain that falling creates? And you know what my nursing colleagues say? Well, she didn't ask for nothing. That's right. She also thinks Lincoln's the president. How we can take a group of people, tout quality care, whatever the heck that means, and not have a routine pain management intervention. And this is not a pain management program, but I just did one last week. And there happened to be a PharmD in the audience who was the other speaker. And as a group, we actually created a pain intervention program. It took us approximately 4 minutes. What is the very first intervention that we've known about? We got to do it here. Because if you take nothing else away, take this away. Stop saying you care and then let them hurt, okay? Let's try it. What's the very first? Start simple. Kiss, okay? Keep it simple. We're not going to make this difficult. What's the very first falls intervention you're going to put in? I'm sorry, pain intervention you're going to put in place? We did that. That's not an intervention. That is what we do to figure out what we're going to do. We got the assessment. I told you, she's got a glunk here, a glunk here, and a glunk here. Ice. Let's try that one more time because that's the first intervention. Let's go. Ice. How long do you leave it on? Oh, now, wait a minute. You see, we can't just dump a minute. We got to know what to do with the ice. So let's try that again. If I'm going to put ice on bumps, how long does it stay on? And how long does it come off? And how long does it go on? And how long does it come off? And it's routine, correct? It's not up to each individual nurse to decide if Mabel truly needs the ice or not. How long are we going to put that ice on there? Length of, you know, hours. You know, this needs to be more unison, but we're working toward that. If we were going to use something in addition to ice, what might we kick in? Tylenol! Well, what's the truth about Tylenol? There are two major issues, three, that I can think of. Tylenol has to be dosed every how many hours? You got a lot of extra staff time? You got extra staff walking around just waiting for somebody to fall so they can now kick right in there and start working? Okay, we're going to get someplace with that. Every 4 hours, how many do you have to give? Two. How many milligrams is that? What's the maximum dose of Tylenol in a day, of acetaminophen in a day? 4,000 or 4 grams. Okay, what else are they on? Do your nurses double check all that? Sure they do. Well, that's good. I'm very proud of you. All righty, but now let's talk about Tylenol. What does Tylenol do for inflammation? Nothing. And her knee is about this big around. Is it the drug of choice? Takes a lot of time. Takes a lot of drugs. Doesn't fix the fat knee. And with the fat knee, when she tries to get up tomorrow morning to let the dog out, which is where her mind is, guys, what will happen? She'll fall again. But the good news is, after they've fallen twice, they get so stoved up they can hardly move for about 3 weeks. So it really reduces your fall rate. Do some studies on that, by the way, and see how many people fall within 5 days, fall, 5 days, fall, and they don't fall for a month, maybe. It's because they're so stoved up they can't move. Okay? Terrible way to manage falls. All right, what else might we use in this pain thingamajig we're putting together here? Motrin, ibuprofen, what else? That's also an every so many hour dose. How many, what's that dosing? Every 6 hours, okay? What else we got out there? And I'm not suggesting we write these down and go with them. I'm suggesting you take these home and you get together with your medical director and go, we got to put something in place, man. We said we cared and we were letting people hurt here. Witness the numbers, correct, of pain across the United States. All righty? And what's the last component? Well, not the last, but what's another component we can put in pharmacologically? COX-2s. Vioxx, Celebrexes. I got to tell you something interesting. How many times a day do you dose those? Once. Okay, are they expensive? Yeah. But how can I look at that against the cost of my staff time? Okay, let's do this. Vioxx will blow somebody's stomach out if they have stomach problems. Will it blow it out in 3 days? No. Will Tylenol blow out somebody's liver in 3 days? That answer would be yes. It's a very toxic drug, okay? We need to keep up on what's going on. We're going to talk later on about another intervention that we can use for pain, and that's for falls, which is, how many of you have routine massages going on in your building? Of course you do. What's happened to us, guys? How many of you old nurses like me remember we never put anybody to bed without a? So when was the last time one of your staff gave a resident a back rub? What happened to it? What happened to it? I want to start off talking about restraints and falls from the standpoint of, I don't know about you guys, but where I come from, and as I travel around the country, I haven't been truly excited. Most people don't like us. Have you noticed that? Nursing homes in general, not us personally. True or false, here in New York, do people love nursing homes? Why not? Because we got a bad rap, and who else besides us can change that rap? I want to tell you, I want to show you how the restraints give us a bad rap. I want to show you how alarms give us a bad rap. I want to show you how phrases like, pull the care, when we don't use pain management, post-fall, gives us a bad rap. We are professionals. We are the experts in long-term care. If we don't stand up for what we know is the best practice, who will? Who will? Absolutely no one, okay? Now, I don't know if you have this. I wanted to share this with you. Found this in our local phone book. Nursing home neglect! It's written in big print, so I have to say it loud, okay? Has your loved one suffered from bed sores, falls, malnutrition, or other injuries while in a nursing home? We can help, but only if you call us for a free consultation. Why do these people exist, and why are they getting more and more successful? Because we're giving them ammunition, and I'm going to show you this throughout the day. We're giving them ammunition to win, okay? We're giving them ammunition to win. How about this one? I don't know if you saw this one. Two people sitting with an elderly gentleman between them. They're holding a nursing home abuse report in their hands. And the one man says the other to the person, whoever's behind the desk, you know, we were talking about putting Gramps here in this retirement center, but we really thought he'd be safer in here. You see, I don't think that's funny, because that's my industry, man. That's my industry, and I don't consider myself a prison, but you want to know something? You can't use restraints in prisons. Isn't that interesting? We can use them on the 94-year-old, 82-pound lady, but we cannot use them on the serial killer. We can use them on the serial killer, but they have to have staff members with them so they don't get hurt. What? No. Why don't people like us? Let's get down in the trenches, guys, and let's look at how people look at us. Okay? This is not funny. This is not funny. You need to be incensed. It was interesting. This hit the local paper where I live. There was one letter to the editor. And it was from a nurse who is in charge of clinical stuff at our not-for-profit organization in the state of Ohio. Aren't there any other people working in Ohio in long-term care who were incensed by this? Wow. The other thing that's happening is part of the CQI's responsibility are these kind of seminars, which are wonderful. The other responsibility of the whole CMS process is to tell people how you're doing, right? Yes or no? Like newspaper ads? That list restraint, right? That list pressure sores. There's problems. I don't think people know how to read them, but it's not good news. Okay, was an article in the Toledo paper about a month ago that listed all the nursing homes in our area, and it listed whether they had pressure sores or not. Yes or no. Now this is real beneficial, right? It listed their latest survey results like this: good, excellent, very poor. Are you kidding? That's what the column said. Wow. Wow. And guess who didn't speak to that? Us in the industry. And we just beat our chest one more time. Our behavior. I'm a gooey word. Oh, come on. We need to step to the fore. Okay? when we're done talking about restraints and we're talking about falls, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you in lots of ways. But one way I'm going to challenge you is, and maybe you're already doing it so you guys can leave, when is the last time a representative from your facility went to the local Rotary Club, not because he or she belongs, but because they called Rotary and said, you know, we'd like to come over, we'd like to talk about the use of restraints in long-term care facilities. How about we went over and said, we'd like to talk to you about pain management in the elderly, because we're the experts in the town. How many of you ever went over and said, hey, we'd like to talk to your people? 15 minutes, by the way, is all the Rotary will let you talk. You can't talk very long there, and they never invited me. But do you see where I'm going with this? We're the experts. When was the last time you ran over there and said, the newspaper article is going to come out tomorrow, and it's going to list all the nursing homes, and it's going to say some numbers, and I'd like you to understand what those numbers mean? How many of you did that before the QMs hit? Why don't people like us? Because we don't tell them the good news. So today I'm going to give you a whole bunch of information that I truly believe is good news stuff. Now, we're going to start with you. Some of you sat in the back. Early on. Can you tell me why that would be? Why, when you came in, there were lots of tables and stuff like that, and there's a small little chart up there, might not be able to see. Why did you guys sit in the back? Those guys, we know they're working here. They're going to get out and do some work. Why did you guys sit in the back?
You got here late.
You should have had to sit in the front. Because like in church, most of the back seats are full. You're not unusual. Okay? He had a reason. He got here late. Somebody else, why are you sitting in the back? Because I'm incontinent. And if I don't get to the bathroom immediately, isn't it an embarrassment, by the way? Yeah, the doors are all closed. In the year 2004, not only have we been able to tell the world we don't take care of pain worth a darn, now, and we've got them all tied up. So far, you want to move right in? Okay, we got them all tied up. We got some pressure sores going there. They decline in their ability to move. Let's make those QMs live for us, okay? But what about the new one? Oh, by the way, we should worry if they're incontinent. This is one of these things, you know? I feel like Stevie Wonder. What happened? We should have been worried about incontinence all along. I want to hang on to the incontinence idea, so I got to hold my finger up. That's what I did in high school or in grade school. What else? What another reason somebody came back there or sat back there? Yes. How many of you administrators? If this is no good, I'm out of here. No? That's not it. Okay. Just thought I'd check. See, I've done program planning for a real long time. Isn't it interesting that of all the people we work with, nursing home administrators have to sign in, sign out, because they try to run away. I know they care about education. I'm fairly convinced of it. Okay? Every behavior has meaning. Every behavior has meaning. I came late. I need to go to the restroom. I'm an administrator, and I don't want to stay real long here. Until we begin to look at our residents as human beings with minds, might not be real good anymore, okay? But they still have meaning in why they're moving. My whole conference today is going to be talking to you. If you just figure out why they're moving, you can intervene. You're intervening too late. How about my friend back there wants to go to the bathroom? If she needs to go to the bathroom, will tying her up help her meet her goal? Come on, yes or no? How long have we been doing that, guys? How many residents do you truly believe, the motivation to move has something to do with bowel and bladder function? Why the heck aren't we dealing with bowel and bladder function before QMS or CMS had to tell us? That's the reason I think probably 92% of the reason you have falls are toileting issues. So let's start right now and let's talk a little bit about, by the way, what I'm going to do is intersperse interventions all through today. So don't wait for like a time when I'm going to start spewing interventions, okay? They're going to be all the way through it. How many of you have individualized toileting programs that the staff actually know, okay? How do you put yours together, ma'am? What's your name?
Linda.
May I call you Linda? Yeah, there was kind of a call or something else. She wouldn't talk to me. Okay, tell us about yours and I'll tell these guys. Every 2 hours, this is wonderful. I am so excited about every 2 hours. How many of you go every 2 hours on the button? And here's the problem I have. How many staff do you have? You better have as many staff as you have incontinent residents, because if they take her and wait for me, woohoo, too late. How about this? Let's ask Linda. Okay. Aren't you glad you sat in the front? That's another reason not to sit in the front. But I'll be back there. Okay. Linda, how do you decide which minute is the beginning of the 2 hours? You see, is it 7:09 or is it 8:10? I know I'm going to be in an 8:10 schedule and I got to go 7:09. And I will continue to be incontinent. And I will continue to be marked on the MDS as an incontinent person. When you know what? If you took me on my schedule, I could be continent. Okay? Well, Linda, you're doing good so far. somebody else said they had a formal toilet or toileting program. Who said that over here? This. Okay. So tell me about yours.
Well, ours is more individual.
Woo!
You may go every 2 hours, but maybe you go every 3 hours.
Okay. And how?
Maybe you have to go more frequently.
And how do you let the staff know that? On our care card, which is reviewed?
Pretty often. Once a month we do our care card.
I didn't mean that. I meant when is it looked at by the caregivers? Let's try something unique. Let's look at the care card before we give care.
We have primaries who basically do the same group all the time.
Did you hear that? They have the same person who takes care of the same person. What a concept. Go.
And then we
good.
Okay.
Alrighty. And it actually says, take Diana 9:30, 10. Okay, let me tell you about me. And this is true, I'm not lying about this. I actually came across this as I was arguing with a colleague of mine about side rails. Oh yeah, we're going to talk about them. When I get up in the morning, I go to the bathroom 5 times in the first hour. Successfully, I might add. Then I don't go for another 4 or 5 hours, okay? So I'm talking to my friend about side rails, and I'm trying to explain motivation for moving. And I said, if I were in a bed with side rails and I have to go to the bathroom, how about you guys? Would you just lay there?
No,
you're going to try to get up. So you got to do something weird to get over the thing if it's the full length, or you grab it as enablers, and we'll talk about that. And it enables you to fall right on your face. So, okay, but I would try something. I said, if you're going to take care of me, you need to know I go to the bathroom 5 times in the first hour. And without missing a beat, she said to me, you better have a lot of money. I said, I don't get money. What do I need money for? She said, you're going to have to hire your own caregiver. She said, we haven't got enough staff to take you to the bathroom 5 times in the first hour. And I said, oh, I don't think you're understanding. I will go to the bathroom 5 times in the first hour. Where will be up to you. Okay. And I said, tell me how many times would you be able to clean me up then in that hour? And without missing a beat, she went once or twice. I started to cry. I'm driving down the road, talking on the phone, crying. This is another problem with cell phones, okay? She wasn't a mean person, but what did she just tell me? The truth, but what did she tell me? Do I want to run to her nursing home now when I need care? I said to her, on your pre-admission visit, oh, we're going to talk about those too. You, of course, would never bring someone to your home unless you've been to theirs. We know that. That's a given. Now, during the pre-admission visit, I said, you had a question that said, how many times do you have to go to the bathroom first time you get up, in the first hour you get up? And when I answer 2, you don't admit me, do you? Because you can't service my needs. What did she do? Hung up on me. Now, administrators in this room just all fell over. Because, yes, I am saying, if you can't take care of the needs of the person, for God's sakes, don't admit them. How many of you handle vents in here? Anybody handle vents? Got some vent folks? Okay. I don't want the vent folks to answer. I want everybody else to answer. Your facility is right around the corner from my house. Okay? And I want my mother in your place, because it'd be easy for me to come see her. She is on a vent. That won't be a problem, will it? I mean, you'll all take her, won't you? But I'm a family, and I have a request. And that is that she be in your facility. So you'll take her, won't you?
No.
Why not? Because you don't have the skills to care for her. And we fly that every day of the week. Tell me the difference between saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't take your mom because she has a vent, and saying, I can't take your mom because her behaviors are so awful that she's killed 2 people. And I can't do that. How about this? Your mom has to go to the bathroom 5 times in the first hour. We haven't got enough staff to deal with that. I'm very sorry. I'll help you find a place that does. You see, we speak with forked tongue, guys. If you really want to say we are the experts and no, we cannot take the vent person, why would you ever, 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 ever use, well, the family wanted him tied up, as a reason for using a restraint? You're the ones who know they're dangerous, right? You're the ones who know they kill people. Why would you allow a family member who goes, listen, you either tie my mother up, because if she falls, I'm suing every one of you individually, okay? And you go, okay. We're professionals. Stand on the side of no vents, sorry, and stand on the side of no, we don't use restraints. Well, but that's a stupid thing for me to say. I'll look with one eye, okay? Anybody in here still using restraints? Raise your hands. I'm only looking with one eye. Good, I didn't see any hands at all. All right. I happen to be blind in my right eye. No. But I want you to get inside your own gut. I want you to feel today. I don't want you to necessarily learn. I want you to feel it, okay? Because that's what's our problem. We haven't internalized it yet. We're going to work on that. If I were to come to you with my mom, we're going to do another one of these because the family wants them tied up as a rationale all the time. I brought my mom to you and I said, hey, listen, what I'd like you to do with her is double dose her every day with insulin. Well, she's not a diabetic, but I am. And so I've been using my insulin on her at home. It keeps her really mellow. You won't have a bit of behavior problems with her if you do that, okay? Will you do that for me? Why not? It is a family request. Why won't you double dose her with insulin? Keep talking to me. It's unethical and it's very, very dangerous. But then I say to you, not that bad. My brother's a doctor. He'll write the order. He doesn't like her any better than I do. Okay? Now it'll be okay, won't it? Because we have a doctor's order, right? Then stand by it with restraints. Stand by it with restraints. We don't have to answer this, but I can tell you that what has happened to your physicians that service your facility is we have asked for restraints and they have said, all right, because they're not there. But why did we ask in the first place? Okay? We're the problem. I never thought I'd actually say, you know, growing up as a nurse and working in the whole world, I feel so sorry for physicians in this restraint world. Are there any physicians in here? Do I have any luck and have a physician with me today? Okay. I feel very sorry for physicians. Because let you and I be serious. The majority of restraints either came as transfer orders from the hospital, or we called because we didn't know how to handle the behavior, and we said, she might hurt herself. Could we have a restraint order, please? And the physician says, here's the deal. What's your name?
Beth.
Physician knows Beth, and he knows she's very smart. And he says, well, Beth, okay, if you think that she'll be okay without that restraint, go ahead. But you see, Beth leaves. Beth doesn't work 24/7. And Linda comes on. And Linda goes, who the heck got rid of that restraint order? We don't understand on 11/7, we got to have it. So she calls the physician and says, I don't know what Beth told you, but I'm here to tell you, we got to have that restraint, okay? The physician goes, well, he likes Linda too. Okay. All right. So he renews the restraint order. Linda goes home. Here comes Beth back. Who put the restraint back on Sam? This is ridiculous. And calls the physician. Okay? What have we told the physician that has made him say, I don't want to play? What have we told him? We're not talking to each other. We're not working as a team. And that's how we kill ourselves with families. I will say this once, I will say this 1,000 times, probably not that many, today. Please take it home with you. This is Tuesday. This has happened in your facility since last Friday afternoon. When, how many of you are managers, managerial kind of people? Okay, how many of you are direct care staff? Of course not, they're back taking care. Oh, thank you, I'm so glad there's some of you here, yes. Okay. Alrighty, Friday afternoon, your manager's when you walked off. Remember that? No, you didn't walk off, you left work. Alrighty? Sorry. Oops. You left work. You left work about, heck, it was Friday, 12:30. And you had an admission, because you know we got to keep that census up, right? Administrators, yes, we had a little administrator cheer. Census, census, census. I happened to have fallen in love with Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep census. So it's 5:00 in the afternoon. We know the administrator is going to go livid if we don't take this admission. So we bring him in. Beth happens to be working. And she talks to me. I'm the daughter. And she said, you know, we don't use restraints here. And I go, but my mom had them on when she was in the hospital. and they said that she needed them in order to keep her safe. And Beth explains to me, that's correct. Your mother at that time had an IV in. Recall that she was in the hospital for 12 minutes. Remember that part, Diana? And remember, where were the nurses in relationship to your mother's bed? Where are the nurses in a hospital in relationship to the beds? Well, it depends, unless they're in a coronary care unit, and then they're sitting on the end of the bed, okay? And a lot of the folks we get, there's been some pretty close coverage. So Beth is explaining to me why it might be possible in a hospital that they would use a restraint, but that you guys don't use it, because a hospital is acute care and you're long-term, by definition, okay? And she goes on and she explains that, you know, there have been a lot of studies done, a lot of them since 1995, and gosh, that's just yesterday afternoon, and I'll share those with you, that show us that restraints, she's not going to use the word kill because she doesn't want to frighten me, okay? Know that restraints hurt people pretty badly, she says. So she says, you know, we aren't going to use it, okay? And I go, well, you seem like a nice person. Thanks, Beth, but I'm still scared. And she goes, I know, but it'll be just fine. And she leaves. I came back Friday night, okay? And what's your name? Susan. Susan's working. And I say, Susan, I met Beth this morning, and she gave me a long dissertation on why you don't use restraints here, but I got to tell you, I'm scared to death. I mean, what do you think about this whole issue of restraint freedom? I mean, do you think, what's going to happen to my mom? And Susan says, well, she said the first thing is Beth's part of management. Notice she left at 1:30. You were still here when she walked out. She doesn't work nights, she doesn't work weekends, and she's not here on the when I'm here. And I can tell you what happens when I'm here. Why, as a matter of fact, the last resident who fell, bone came right out through the skin, never walked again. But Diana, you can make whatever decision you'd like to make. It's happened in your building since last Friday night. All right, so it wasn't as wild as the bone coming out through the skin. But what might it have looked like? What might it have looked like? So I say, Susan, what about this business with no restraints? Beth is making me scared, and I don't know what to do. And all Susan did was this. It's fine. No, it's fine. No, it's really fine. No, really, we'll trust what Beth says. What has happened? In a heartbeat. And where do these people walk in? The door is called distrust. Okay? And we do this all the time. I don't care whether I talk to a laundry aide. I don't care whether I talk to the maintenance man. I need everybody to go, now, I know you're really nervous, Diana, but one of the things we did during pre-admission visit was we brought all the things that mean things to your mom here. Her Afghan's here, her chair's here, her coupons are here. We actually have it on the care plan that one of the things we ask her to do is to clip recipes. We're really trying to fit right into her lifestyle because we do know that restraints are so, so dangerous. We're not going to tell you that your mom won't fall, but man, we're trying everything to talk to your mother as a person. What happens to my faith in you guys when that kind of a conversation occurs? It was a maintenance man, and it was Beth, and it was Sue, and it was the physician, for heaven's sakes. It was the administrator. It takes them a little longer to get on board, but they can be taught. They can be taught. Alrighty? Yeah. How many of you, let's try this one on for size. Let's talk about trust, guys, because that's why people hate us. They don't trust us. They don't trust us, and we continue to prove to them they're right by allowing people to fall. Do you see where I'm going with this? Not that we do, but that's how it's viewed is what I'm trying to point out to you. When a resident falls in your facility, who makes the call to the family to explain to them what occurred? I'm a charge nurse, of course! My God, the person who wasn't anywhere close when the fall occurred, who was probably passing meds or talking to a doctor. Because how many of you allow the aide that was with them, the maintenance man that found them, the laundry person who happened to be walking down the hall and saw her fall, how many of you allow that person to make the phone call? Are you nuts? Are you nuts? I would never, ever expect my staff to be able to explain a fall without potentially setting me up for a lawsuit. So here's how it goes. My mom was in your facility, and she fell down, and the nurse called me, and I said, what was going on? She went, I don't know. We found her on the floor. Well, but was anybody with her? I'm not sure. I've got some aides I'm going to talk to, but they're on break right now. Do you have any idea this is the 15th fall this week? You know, I know I think we should restrain her, but you know there's a law that says we can't, okay? Yeah, I know, uh-huh. Alrighty. So my mother goes to the hospital. They fix her hip. I bring her back to your facility. Who do I look up? I want the true skinny on this. The nurse's aide. So I go to the nurse's aide and I go, you were with my mom when she fell. Can you tell me what happened? And unless you've scripted all of your staff on how to deal with this, she's going to say, well, I'll tell you the truth. Diana Waugh was helping me, and every time I get her involved, she drops the residents. I don't know what to do with her. I've said to them, please fire her. But no, they say they're short-staffed and they need her. True or false, guys? Unless you, and what has happened to our tree? Here we go. Why don't you just call the attorney? Perhaps you could have him have an office in your building. Okay? We don't trust the aides enough to say, make the phone call. Because know what the aide would say, especially you, where you have primary people? This would be gorgeous, because they would call and go, I was right with your mom, and she stumbled over her shoelace. And I just want to let you know, I was right there by her. And I lowered her to the floor, but she did hurt her hip. The nurse is right here, and she'll tell you more of that medical stuff, but I just want to let you know I was with her. Okay? She still got a busted hip, guys. But what has happened? I believe that everybody at your facility really cares about my mom. And you've told me already that you can't keep all falls from happening, so I guess this is that one that I was so scared of. How do we communicate? Please, write it down. Have classes with all of your staff. How many of your staff have been caught in this situation? On the way home from work, I'm a laundry aide, for crying out loud. On the way home from work, I stop at the grocery store to buy some milk. In line behind me is the granddaughter of the lady who fell yesterday and busted her head wide open. So the granddaughter, and of course, I got my uniform on, or I got my I don't care if I'm supposed to wear it home or not. Let's not even go into that. I got it on, or I got my T-shirt that says Happy Acres. Don't you love the name we've given some of our places? Twilight Gardens. Anyway, I got to be careful when I do that in Ohio. There actually is a Twilight Gardens in Ohio. Never can do that when they're recording me. Anyway, and so it says, you know, we love all people, or whatever. All right. So she notices that, and she said, you're from the facility where my grandma is. And the laundry aide goes, yes, I am. And then starts praying, please don't ask me any questions. Because of HIPAA, I'm not allowed to know anything about the residents. I know a lot about linen. If she asks me about how many folds are in a wash rag, I got it. Okay. And she says, my grandma fell yesterday in your facility. And the laundry aide goes, that's too bad. And now the granddaughter starts getting mad, and her voice starts to go up. You know, they call us at least once a week that grandma falls, and I'm sick of it. Who's getting the brunt of this? Your charge nurse, your administrator? No, it's your laundry aide. And you guys are in small towns or small neighborhoods. How can you empower that person to speak to this issue? Okay, because they'll blow it for you too, and not because they're bad people. What would you do? How would you like it? The entire grocery store has stopped shopping, and now they're all watching. And your answer is going to speak for your facility in a heartbeat. Well, we don't have enough staff, you know. I mean, she'll say it in the nicest words she can say it in. How do you script? Please, write down, I'm going to set up a meeting with my staff to script them on how to talk about us and what our beliefs are out in the big world. Okay? In your mission statement, you do have, it is one of our goals that all folks will be free. You do have that down, don't you? From restraints. You've got it written in your mission statement, verbiage like that. Not under quality of care, because we use quality of care when we tied them up. Right? How many of you have freedom from pain? Our goal is that all of our residents will be free from pain. Because whoever told me, whoever the resident says is pain? And so we believe that. Our mission statement should scream what we're about. We should be able to teach it to our staff so they don't sucker punch us. And they don't mean to be doing that. Now, another bunch of people they sucker punch us with are surveyors. Surveyor comes in the building and has the audacity to speak to an aide and says to the aide, what is the toileting schedule for Susan? And they went, everybody's on a two-hour, man. You know what? We can't get them all there at 8 o'clock. And I don't know what hers is if it's no different than that, right? Are you happy when they tell the surveyors those kind of things? How about this? Haven't had a chance to look at the care card. We were short this morning, so I had to get right to work. When you take it out of the context of where we live, it makes no sense. Oh, I forgot to ask. Are there any surveyors in the room? I love it when there are. I truly do, because I have yet, and I do this across the country, I have yet to be called on by a surveyor. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that what I'm saying flies. Okay? I'm telling you, what I'm telling you will fly. Once you get to know who that person is, and you are using that person's own individuality to care for them, you're golden. As long as everybody else knows it, we have all their pieces in place. How many of you have assisted living buildings on your campus, or wings, or whatever? If I were to walk into your assisted living area, and then I were to walk down the hall, into the skilled nursing or the long-term care facility, would I be able to tell a difference without anybody talking to me that I've just changed areas? Why? Why? Go ahead. The atmosphere should not be different. What's different about the atmosphere? What's different about the atmosphere? Don't overthink this. I'm talking just visuals. I walked in and I saw. They're all lined up. Who said recliners? Those are in assisted living. Oh, yeah, Jerry chairs, medical pieces of equipment to take care of these sick old folks that are in the nursing home. What are those sick old folks in the assisted living sitting in? Oh, yeah, they're sitting in other kind of chairs. Take one thing away, take away, get rid of the... there's a nun in the audience, and so I can't say what I normally say. But get rid of the stupid wheeled chairs. Most of your restraints, true or false, are related to the use of a wheeled chair. Their alarm... Well, let's not use alarms as restraints. Their seat belts, true or false? Well, then get rid of the chair. This is not brain surgery, okay? How many of you have ever sat for 8 hours in a wheeled chair? Anybody in here? Was it pretty comfortable? You loved it. Now tell us the truth. We were doing this for your own good. What's your name? Linda. Linda's over here. Oh, now I'll get confused. All right, Mary. Mary, no. Why didn't you like the wheelchair? What was your problem? Talk.
Why didn't I like
it? Yeah.
Very uncomfortable. My bottom hurt.
That's because you're skinny. If you'd be fat, you'd be better. Then you don't have wheelchairs that where your residents are using them as regular chairs. That's good. See, she's got the lying part down real good. And I love it. I think it's important that we lie, okay? Guys, why were wheels put on chairs originally? Transportation, to get me from A to B. Were they ever meant as dining room chairs? No, I need this to be loud, okay? Were they ever meant as dining room chairs? Were they ever meant as easy chairs?
No.
Were they ever meant as living room chairs?
No.
Why are we using them? Why are we using them? And how many of you are using those chairs for dining room chairs, living room chairs, and easy chairs, and then you put the person on a restorative program? Right? Try transfer to regular chairs, a restorative program. How many of you have got residents on a restorative program and you want them to transfer and you want them to ambulate 10 feet? So in the middle of the afternoon when nothing's going on, the resident's doing this, the aide goes, come on, you got to walk 10 feet. With absolutely no reason. And the resident goes, I don't want to. So you went, refused! Then there goes your reimbursement. I mean, you know how it goes. What is our problem? Wheeled chairs are wonderful. I have a friend of mine who's a paraplegic. He comes over to the house, and his chair doesn't have the sling bottom, and it doesn't have the sling back. It's very beautifully made for him. It's solid, okay? And he transfers into a regular chair. And I went, what you doing? He went, hey, that thing's uncomfortable, man. And he said, besides, when I sit in my wheeled chair, I am what? In relationship to everyone else in this room. Different and higher. Wheelchairs are higher. Prove it to yourself. Walk into your lobby tomorrow when you get back home, or if you're crazy, one of the management people who stops by tonight to act like you really care. If you stop by, look at, and you've got a beautiful couch. This is a beautiful couch. It's got flowers on it. See, these are flowers. Beautiful couch, okay? And here sits a family member, okay? Lovely family member, okay? And here sits the resident in a wheeled chair. Big wheelchair. But look, They're not at the same level. Try to watch them even hug. We say we care. I'm not buying it. Why can't they both sit on this pretty couch? Oh, we don't have plastic on it. They might be incontinent. What? Come on, guys. Why don't people like us? Get them at the same level. One of my best. Ooh, big surprise, success story for us. Had a lady that we had an alarm on. We'll talk about those. Ooh. We had an alarm on her. We had a lap buddy on her in her wheelchair. I also hate lap buddies. I came walking down the hall, and she'd worked and worked, and she had the lap buddy off, and it was sitting between her legs on the pedals. And I said, "Dot, what are you doing?" "Oh, my God." She said, "Don't ever buy one of these." I said, "What you talk? What do you mean, don't buy what?" And she said, "Don't buy one of these suitcases." She said, "You work and you work and you work and you get it just where you want it, and then it moves." Listen with your heart. Okay? It didn't move on its own. Who put it there? My caring staff! Yeah, we're going to, because we did care about her. This was a beautiful facility, and we did care about the people, but the blinders were smushing our brain. Then we got the alarm on her, and she's spending half her life trying to get this thing off. Alrighty? I saw this right outside my office. Her son is, he came probably 3-4 times a day. Very, very cool guy. And she's sitting in there trying to talk, try to whisper. You know, guess who's pregnant in the family? Try to whisper. You can't. Alrighty? I looked out and I said, "Sir, would you and your mom like to sit on the couch together?" And you'd have thought I hit him in the head. He went, "What? Could we do that?" And immediately I realized, what had we taught him without saying a word? She must stay in the chair. We never said that. We never said that to him. But that was our message. He went, "Well, I'd love it if she could sit next to me. But what if, and I said, "I'll be right here. My office is right here. We'll put her with you. If when she needs to move, you just go, 'Hey, Diana, I'll be right there.'" We took this lady from a lap buddy and a seat belt, and an alarm, to sitting on the couch with her son. We took away the lap buddy and the alarm. She got to the point where her strength was so that she was pushing the wheelchair, using that like a walker. We actually thought about moving her into our assisted living unit. Her cognition had gotten that much better. You see, I don't think her cognition got any better at all. I think we stopped challenging her, okay? And she could use every little brain cell that was in there to its fullest potential. We were ready to make the transfer, and she died of a stroke, okay? I'll take it any day in the week. Any day in the week. Because before she went, I watched her and her son sit on this couch. I'm the one who took the picture of her, her son, her grandson, and her new great-grandson. Okay? Do you think that family likes that nursing home? Oh, yeah. And we didn't do any major medical thing, and we let her die. Are you with me? We've over-medicalized long-term care. And the beginning piece is the wheelchair. When I walk into your facility, I'm looking at your facility to leave my mom there. And I just took a walk, and you're open all the time. And I came over at night, and your staff stopped me, and they said, "Sure, we'll go for a walk with you at 3 in the morning, because you see, I work nights, or 3:11, it was when I was off." So I came and, what's your name?
Ellen.
Ellen and I are taking a walk. Okay. And what am I seeing? You want to actually begin to feel your building? Try this. Try walking through your building at 3 in the morning with your heart open. Okay, what am I going to see? I walked into the dining room with Ellen. What did I see? What did the dining room tell me about where my mother was going to have to sit if she came to live here with you guys? There are no chairs. What, you didn't have enough money to buy chairs for all the tables? What's the problem here? Are you in bankruptcy? Is that what it is? No, my mother's going to be relegated to a wheeled chair. You haven't said a word. Ellen's wonderful. She's doing a great job on this tour. She's pointed out the birdcage. How many of you spent $7,000 plus and a monthly maintenance fee on an aviary? You know, our industry hopes that if we spend a lot of money, the world will get nicer. The aviary is beautiful, but you ever have to actually look at an aviary? First, they're finches. You see how big they are? Do you know how fast they move? We got people with osteo of their neck. I can't. Where is he? I can't follow him. But because somebody told me it'd be nice to have birds, I got to pay somebody to come in, crawl in there, clean up all the poop. Okay, now listen. Here's the other thing. With those aviaries, have you ever stood and tried to hear them make noise? They're glassed in, except for little wicker little wire corners. So predominantly, with my hearing loss, the birds go like this. Those automated birds that are only $3.99 make more noise than a... Sit! Sit! Oh, my... my God, honey, no, 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 sit. Oh, please. Oh, my God, no, honey. Oh, no, 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 no. What do you mean, dear? Now, have a seat. You might fall. I wouldn't want you to fall. Oh, God, I'm going to fall. No. Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, I was so worried. You know, you fell last week. And remember that bump right here on your head? That was terrible, and I felt badly, and your daughter was pissed. So, you sit right here, okay? Honey? Now we're ready. Now, as I was saying, Heather, and you caring people allowed that person with a history of falls to get up and move alone. Don't you tell me you care. I heard the word escape. Guys, listen with your hearts. That will happen, by the way, for anybody who gets up in this room, okay? Because I want you to feel what the residents feel. We holler at them. Oh, all right, so I raise my voice. Maybe your staff doesn't raise their voice, but the end result is exactly the same. And what is the response? I will sneak. Because I will go to the bathroom. I will call whoever I want to call. How many of you have... I did. I'll be honest. We actually had breaks that were my fault. Okay, this was before I got it together. Alrighty? Because we had... I'll tell you the story. We had a Monsignor. I'm not a Catholic. I don't even understand. I can't spell Monsignor. It's got funny letters in it. And he would say to us, I have got to get going. I have got to get the sermon written. Okay? Or the service, or whatever. And what did we say to him? You don't do that anymore. You're retired. There's a new Monsignor now. How happy did that make him? He was demented. He was living when he was a Monsignor. So now I've hurt his feelings. I've called him useless. Okay? And I've told him that what he's thinking about is just stupid. I might as well have said it. Okay? Oh, my God. Careful. Be very careful. That's not Heather. That's another person that got loose. Did she go out with Heather? Did she use Heather as a cover? Okay. That's right. And that's just as how valuable your alarms are. I almost said another bad word. All right, but I've got to finish my Monsignor story. So he said, no, you don't understand. I've got to get the service written. And we're going, no, 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 no. You just rest here and do nothing for the rest of your life. We didn't say that, but that's how he heard it. Okay? And finally he went like this. We broke his spirit and he went, okay, all right. And he was very quiet and he was sitting peacefully and I could chart, sitting peacefully, reminded to stay in his chair until I came back. I charted that even. I was good. Okay? What did he do? And then he had to run, right? Because he was late. And he fell and broke his hip in the hall. Look at how many of your falls and breaks are your fault. Because you put them in a situation where they had to escape. We just witnessed it. All of us, you all were rooting for her, and I knew she was leaving. You were all rooting for her. Because she's a human being, and she shouldn't be treated like that. As long as she's young. When she's old, man, we'll holler at her every single day, several hundred times a day. This is a non-compliant person right there. And I am going to put that in the care plan, and I truly believe we need some PRN Ativan for her. Because I can tell by the set of her shoulders, she wouldn't have stopped had I said a word. Okay? Feel it back at your facilities. We're going back with Ellen in our walk. We're having a little walk here. So your dining room has told me, Mother will stay in a wheelchair. Your dining room's told me that. You didn't say a word. I don't like it, but okay. Now we walk down the hall, and all the little folks that are in bed have what? Up on their bed rails, or, well, up on their beds. They have side rails. Oh, one side rail! I love it. Let's play some games with side rails. Do you know you can kill yourself on one side rail? You don't need two. Okay, side rails are very dangerous. Very dangerous. Let me tell you a little story about side rails. We might as well do side rails right now. Okay? 5 years ago almost now, Ohio... I got to tell you, I'm pretty proud of this. We led the country in side rail deaths. We took out 14 of them, okay? And they were all half-length side rails. Because we played the game, let's not use full, because the surveyor might call in a restraint. So let's use a half-length side rail. and called an enabler. Okay? Yeah. 14 people we took out. Now, any of you know, you might know, there's a terrible rivalry between Michigan and Ohio. Okay, we share a border, and we argue in football, and we argue in land, and we argue in all kinds of ways. Okay? The next year they beat us. They took out 11. 11 and 14. How many is that? 25. 25 people killed by side rails in two states in 2 years. Keep those figures in your mind. Let's try this on for size. 38. The number of children killed by airbags from 1985 to 1987 across 50 states. 38 kids, 12 years, 50 states. 38. Are you getting the numbers? Okay. What have we done with children in cars? Where do we put them? In the trunk. That is correct. My grandkids come open, I open the trunk. There they are, all of them over there. They're kind of mush because they're getting bigger, but that's just how it has to be. My granddaughter said to me, her birthday was last week, and I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, our son is getting married, and he asked her to be in the wedding, and it's next year. She said, I'll be 8 when I can be a bridesmaid. And she said, you know what? I won't have to sit in that car seat anymore. Illinois has a rule that says 80 pounds and 8 years old. They must sit in car seats, okay? And she went, I'll be able to sit on a regular seat on the way to the wedding. It was so cute. It was like in her head, and she thought about it as she was having her 7th birthday.